Hey, football fans, welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends Brady, Bradley, and Jeremy. My name is Josh. We appreciate you all tuning in. Fellas, I don't know about you, but I do think this is one of my favorite weekends of the playoffs where we still get a decent amount of games. We had, you know, four games this weekend, and they're all pretty good teams, pretty good games. So thoughts on, other than the Super Bowl, your favorite weekend of the playoffs?
Mine's opening weekend. The more games, obviously. I haven't had much experience with it, but if my team was playing in the Super Bowl, I would very much enjoy the Super Bowl. But speaking from a football perspective, I enjoy, you got three games on, or so it was two games Saturday, three games Sunday, one game on Monday. To me, that's way better than the 2 week break between conference championships and then the one game on Sunday.
Which they need to get rid of the Monday night game. I think that's a complete competitive disadvantage. I'm also the first weekend of the playoffs. It's similar to like March Madness. I'd like the opening weekend of March Madness because there's just games all the time. Obviously, the Final Four is good, just like the Super Bowl is good here. But I like the quantity.
I agree. Not much more to add than that. More games, the better.
So how about, okay, clearly that was an easy answer. How about the divisional round or the championship round? What do you prefer of those two?
Championship.
Championship rounds?
Okay. Yeah, you just know on Sunday you got two hopefully really good games. You know you got good teams playing each other. So yeah, that's my answer.
I apologize, Josh, because you just said that your favorite weekend was basically our least favorite. So I'm sorry. Yeah.
That checks out. That is the true statement. I didn't even think about that. That's funny.
It's all right, Josh. We'll let you have your moment. What did you think of this weekend? This is a good transition. We're gonna talk about the divisional playoff recap. So I'm going to give you the floor. What did you think about the Kansas City Chiefs game versus Jacksonville Jaguars?
I mean, it's kind of cheating. Just the first thing to bring up is Mahomes' injury. But I mean, it's the biggest takeaway from the game for me is how that's going to impact the rest of the playoffs that Kansas City's in it for. And I personally think that they're now going to be the underdog for Cincinnati because of it. But I thought Etienne and Pacheco both looked incredible. And Tony led the receivers in targets. He's coming. Kadarius.
Etienne and Pacheco?
Etienne and, yeah, Pacheco just both running the ball in the Kansas City-Jacksonville game. I thought they both looked really good.
Okay. Any thoughts on next week with Mahomes? You think he's playing?
Yes, he is. I would be surprised if he doesn't play.
I think so as well.
I think so too. I will be interested to see how much he is affected by it, though. Let's talk Philly versus the New York Giants. So Philly won that game. What was the final? 38-7. So an absolute blowout. Jalen Hurts looked fine.
If you're a Philly fan, you're super excited just because, I mean, you always get worried with the week off on what team is going to show up, and they came out and punched him in the mouth, and it was up 28-0, which is something that you love to see from the Philly side. As a Vikings fan, it just makes you cringe when you just see how bad Daniel Jones was this week, and he torched the Vikings two different times. So hate to make it about the Vikings, but that's like my initial thoughts when it comes to that game is that Philly looks really good. And the Vikings are really, really bad.
Especially when Philly and Minnesota are on the same type of defense. that's what hurts the most. Is it look like two different players out there. Any other thoughts on this game?
Negative.
Okay. Let's talk Cincinnati versus Buffalo. So the early game today, Cincinnati won the game 27-10. I think we need to have a couple conversations about different players here. So obviously Cincinnati dominated the game. Let's talk about Josh Allen. 25 of 42, 265 yards, an interception. He had a rushing touchdown. Are we overvaluing? Like I understand he's a really good quarterback, but maybe the question is, how much of a gap is there between, so we know Mahomes is one, how much is a gap between Burrow and Josh Allen? And is there one?
That's interesting. It just felt like he was going for the home run every single play. He was just trying to throw it, you know, 25, 30 yards down the field every play. And that was impeding his efficiency and his effectiveness, in my opinion. But to answer your question, I do think that's a much closer bar than we initially thought and that we initially, you know, put together. Because in the fantasy community, he's thought of so much higher, I think, than he is in just regular football.
What I'll say is that I'm not going to overreact to one game. There's definitely a conversation that he needs to be held accountable for what he did in this game because it's a very big game. But the reality is that the AFC is a three-team race with Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Buffalo. Like, that's kind of what it was preseason. Obviously, you thought about Russell Wilson going to Denver and what the Chargers would be, but those are clearly the three best teams. And I saw something, I think it was on Twitter, that surfaced that the 2022-2023 AFC is very similar to when it was Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady in the AFC. And it was a matter of if, it was who was going to be making the Super Bowl from those three. And I think it was just an old-fashioned slugfest. Obviously, Joe Burrow looked better, but let's not make any mistakes. Joe Burrow has more weapons than Josh Allen does. Like, I don't think we're
reinventing there. I saw, like, a poll, like, who has a better wide receiver core, Buffalo or Cincinnati? And I'm like,
oh, what are we doing here?
Tyler Boyd. I think Tyler Boyd's better than Gabe Davis. I don't know if that's bold, but I just think that – it's not even a question. Who's?
I know Bradley's agreeing with that one.
Sure. You're preaching to the choir here. Really bad drop.
Yeah. Okay. So San Francisco versus Dallas. Currently playing. It's in the third quarter. San Francisco is up 9-6 as we are recording right now. I guess the big news right now, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about when we recap the running backs. It was my biggest thing going into the offseason was Tony Pollard. He got carted into the locker room with an ankle injury. He is out for the rest of this game. I guess thoughts on who finishes this? You can put it on the recording now and predict your score.
San Francisco, what's the score right now? 9-6, you said?
Yep. Dallas is in the red zone. I don't know if they're kicking a field goal. It's fourth and seven.
Yeah, they'll kick a field goal.
Are they going to get a field goal?
I don't know if they're going to try to get 16 in San Francisco.
They're marching him out.
So
I feel so. Can we? Yeah, you're ahead of me. Feel so bad for the guy though. Of just everything, like mentally having the yips. That's just so tough for Mar.
Yeah. So it's tied 9-9. Bradley said 16-9 final for San Fran. Any other predictions?
Oh boy. I'll say 19-9 San Francisco.
19-16 San Francisco.
And I will do 23-15 San Francisco. Just to play with the bit a little bit more.
They get to 23 points.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. let's preview at least the AFC Championship matchup. Kansas City versus San Francisco, same exact matchup as last year. It's at Arrowhead. Thoughts on this game? Cincinnati. What did I say?
San Francisco.
Okay. Yes, Kansas City versus Cincinnati at Arrowhead for the AFC Championship. Who wins this game?
Is it really gut-wrenchy to say the Bengals just because of the ankle injury to Mahomes?
No.
Cincinnati.
They went in there and beat them before. I'm going to go Kansas City. I think their defense always takes it up a notch when they're – I mean, obviously in the playoffs, but even when you get to the AFC Championship game, it seems like Chris Jones is there making a play some way, somehow. So I'm just going to – I'm going to say Kansas City because Mahomes is playing. It's just his mobility might be a little bit limited, but they still have a good offensive line, and they could still do what they want to do.
I am going with Cincinnati. I'm really surprised. When we talked about the head coaching ladder that we did, I put Lou Anarumo on there, the defense coordinator. He hasn't gotten any interviews. He needs a lot more credit for what he's doing in Cincinnati because that defense is actually really, really good. I'm going with Cincinnati.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well. I think their defense is very good, as Brady alluded to, and I think Joe Burrow is in the zone right now too. I know obviously it didn't look like that against the Ravens, but it's kind of like, oh, you let him stay in and now he's kind of locked back in again. I think they win.
It's early, really quick. It's early, but if Philly and Cincinnati, I think are going to be the two betting favorites, maybe if Philly and Cincinnati makes it to the Super Bowl, who do you think takes that game?
Well, okay, let's just calm down here. Let's let's preview the NFC title game first. Do you guys think Philly will win no matter who they're playing?
Yes. No.
Would you take San Francisco over them?
I would take San Francisco because defense travels. If anything, going on the road helps the defense because you can communicate more and you can – I shouldn't say that because the crowd noise does help the defense, but, like, there's also positives to being on the road.
I feel you. If San Francisco moves on, I think they can beat Philly at Philly. Their defense stopping the run, like the Fred Warner versus Jalen Hurts would be fun. Yeah.
Physicality-wise, it would be a really good matchup because their offensive line, Philly's offensive line, that is extremely talented. And their front seven or front eight in San Francisco is about as good as it gets to.
Do you have any thoughts on the NFC title game?
It'd be really tough to go against San Francisco at this point, just with what they've done and who they are, and their defense is so fast and talented. But I don't know. I'm going to rock with Philly. Just a gut thing.
Josh, do you have a preview of the Super Bowl that you wanted to give to us?
I'm glad you asked. So if it is, in fact, Philly and Cincinnati, I think I'm taking Cincinnati because they just, you know, Burrow's been there before and maybe learning some things from being there in the past. So I think I would take Cincinnati in that matchup.
I think Cincinnati's winning it this year if they play Philly.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
I would pick Cincinnati. Reasonable.
Yeah. They're in the flames right now. Okay. So the rest of the episode, we got our version of the AP ballot for the awards, the year-end awards. And then we're doing our recap of the quarterbacks as well, too. So it should be a fun episode talking about quarterbacks and what it looks like for a future outlook. So let's do the year-end awards before we take a break. I called it the AP ballot. So if we had an AP ballot, I guess we can call it the Awesome Podcast ballot. We each have our own voters. So we got seven awards. We got MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Let's start with MVP. I'll be interested to know if we have any difference in opinions here. Who is your MVP?
With the first vote in the Awesome Podcast ballot, I would like to cast Patrick Mahomes.
Do we have any objections?
I cast for Josh Allen, personally.
Wolf.
mine is Patrick Mahomes.
Congratulations, Patrick. You are the MVP of the Awesome Podcast ballot for 3 votes to one.
If I had to do an honorable mention just for the exercise, I would have probably went with Joe Burrow.
I would have went with Jalen Hurts.
I think Jalen Hurts probably deserves the honorable mention, but if Joe Burrow would have started a little sooner, he would have. I think it was just a little too late for his fire up.
Josh, who is your second place vote?
It'd be Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, good. Thanks. let's transition to Offensive Player of the Year. Who is your write-in for Offensive Player of the Year?
Jay Jettas, true winner.
I also went with Justin Jefferson. I think it's a little bit more than stats. I think if you really dug into percentage of double teams and the impact that he had on each and every game, that also speaks volumes to him. So I also had him.
I too had Justin Jefferson. I think if there was a player that wasn't a quarterback that would have been the closest to an MVP, it would have been Justin Jefferson, to Bradley's point.
I also went with Justin Jefferson. Did you have anybody in mind for like a second place vote?
Josh Jacobs would have been my second vote.
Mine too. Which it would have been very interesting for somebody who didn't make the playoffs to win like Offensive Player of the Year. So
that's fair.
I would be shocked if Jefferson didn't win it just because it's basically like the non-quarterback award. Let's move to Defensive Player of the Year. Who's your guys' Defensive Player of the Year?
Nick Bosa.
Jeremy?
I also had Nick Bosa.
What about you,
Nick
brother?
Nick Bosa.
I also had Nick Bosa. Was your guys' honorable mention? Or second place team, was that Micah Parsons?
It was. I think it's a two-horse race at this point.
It was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Offensive rookie of the year. I don't want to hear Josh's because I know his is wrong.
No, I was going between Garrett Wilson and Walker, but I did end up going Garrett Wilson.
Who? Oh, Ken Walker. I thought you were talking about Trevon Walker. I'm like, offensive rookie of the year. Offense. So you had Ken Garrett Walker. Wilson?
Yep.
Okay.
I had Garrett Wilson as well.
I had Ken Walker.
I had Garrett Wilson, so congratulations, Garrett Wilson.
Love the vote, though, Becker.
Give him a vote.
If I had to do a second place, and this might be a complete overreaction, but I would go with Brock Purdy.
Interesting.
We talk about
how many games he started.
But when you look at the grand scheme of things, how many games was Ken Walker the guy as far as running back wise?
Oh, totally. I wasn't necessarily disagreeing. I just was. For argument's sake, I would like six or seven games. Like
I'm pulling up.
Five.
It'd be interesting to compare that, but like when you factor in being a quarterback as
six
well.
Games.
Yeah, wait. My second vote.
I like that. I mean, their offense, they're averaging 30 points a game. Josh hates
that. Obviously, if he played 11 or 12 games, I would like it a whole lot more than if he played six, personally. But that's just me.
I'm totally cool with it. He'd be – my second would have been Garrett Wilson, but he'd be in my top three, and no one else is touching either of those three, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I thought there was a case for Chris Olave as well.
I don't think so.
Okay. Sounds good. Defensive Rookie of the Year. We have a clean sweep here.
Just say it, Brady.
I want to do it in the – who's the head coach there?
Sala.
The Robert Sala voice where he goes, Sauce! When he drafted him. Sauce Gardner was mine.
Got to.
Unanimous would probably be Sauce Gardner. Yeah. He's an all-pro as a rookie.
So I would be interested in your thoughts on who your second one was because I feel like it's a two-horse race for honorable mention.
There's a right answer for the second one, just so you guys are aware.
It's either Tariq Woolen or Aiden Hutchinson, right?
Those were my two.
Yeah, which one is it, though?
Tariq Woolen.
It is not Tariq Woolen. It's Tariq Woolen. Aiden Hutchinson was an absolute... He does not get enough credit for how good he was for the Lions this year.
Wasn't Tariq Woolen all-pro second team?
I have no idea.
I believe he was.
He might have been. That sounds right.
I'm telling you, Aiden Hutchinson was an absolute game wrecker.
Yeah.
He lived up to his number two pick. I think the Jags are hurting themselves for not picking him.
And if the Texans weren't so bad, it wouldn't have been a two-horse race for honorable mention. It would have been three. Jalen Petrie was pretty good.
Can't tackle.
He
was good. He was good. He had a good year. Wasn't he a mile man, too?
Yes, he was. I believe so.
I believe he was. Oh, look at the representation. Shout out.
Hey, our rankings for fantasy aren't always great. If you listen to our wide receiver ones, you know that's true. But hey, our mile men were pretty good.
Yeah, not bad, right? One. Josh, who was your second?
Although there was one that was real bad.
Aiden Hutchinson.
I'll take blame for it, and that was Bernard Raimann.
Wolf.
That guy could not block a stationary blocking pad. He was really bad. He struggled. I think he got put into a bad situation, but like this year, as far as he took his lumps as left tackle this year.
Yep, he did. Comeback player of the year.
You already know my answer.
This one should be pretty easy, I think.
He came back, but he didn't write back.
Yeah, dang right, he didn't write back.
Gino!
Yeah, that's sweet. It's such a cool
story.
Good
for him, man.
Yeah. Any other honorable mentions?
No.
Saquon.
Saquon. Did you see he said that he wants to retire as Seahawk too? Pretty sure.
Really?
Really? Good. Wow. Play one more and you're in retire, buddy. Because they might be drafted a quarterback this year. okay. Last but not least, and I think we might have some different opinions here. Coach of the year.
I think I'm going to get mad at this one. I'm going to let you guys.
Well, let's give your answer.
I want to hear your guys' answers because I think Josh is going to be the one that makes me mad.
No, I think it's going to be me, actually. That makes you mad.
No, I think it's going to be me. I went Who's with it? Doug Peterson.
Oh, no.
I'm fine with that one.
You ready for mine, Bradley?
Yeah.
Brian Daboll.
It's a horrible answer.
It's not a horrible answer.
You should be stripped of any voting privileges for the Awesome Podcast. Like it's
I came up with the Awesome Podcast. Don't tell me that.
Why? He's going to be the only one that receives two votes because that's my answer, too.
Let's go.
I'm going to vote for Doug Peterson just so we tie. No, the right answer is Nick Sirianni.
You're not going to hear any complaints, but if that's the case, then why isn't Andy Reid getting it, too?
He should be in consideration every year. People are bored with Mike McCarthy. Not Mike McCarthy. The Giants were 9-7.
Their roster was terrible, dude.
But why?
What do you mean why?
An all-pro running back. They have an all-pro defensive tackle.
Dude. First-round quarterbacks, you still got to be good. I mean, first-round quarterbacks are not good.
An extension,
clearly. Because of Brian Daboll.
I think it's – he should not – he wouldn't even crack my top three.
Name your top three then, please.
I would go Sirianni. Okay. I would probably go Kevin O'Connell. And then okay. I would probably go – I'm fine with Doug Peterson. I think Zach Taylor gets a lot – needs to get a lot of credit for
– What about Kyle Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan should also be in there. All these guys, I think, should be over Brian Daboll.
Do you know? Well, that's wrong. But do you know how wrong?
Why isn't Kevin O'Connell above him? 13 wins as a first-year head coach.
I got it.
Won 11 one-score games. Don't tell me that doesn't come down to coaching.
But whose roster is better?
It doesn't matter.
So then, why wouldn't they give it to the person who wins the most games every single year? Then.
Why did Lovie Smith get fired? He had a terrible roster.
Because let's not talk about the Texans. We are not talking about the Texans. Yeah, not the same.
Then why isn't Steve Wilkes the Panthers head coach?
Not his roster. Yeah, he could be.
His roster but is terrible. Yet. But he led him to 500 when he was their coach.
Okay, I was going to take the blame.
He was my pick to get hired. Yeah. But we did that.
True. That is true. Bradley did mention Zach Taylor. I don't know if I could come onto this podcast every single year and apologize more to Zach Taylor for how much I battered him.
I was thinking about that today after they won, like how quickly the narrative, because it wasn't just you, Bray. Like there were other people that didn't think he was a great coach either. How quickly that has changed.
Wasn't that I didn't think he was a great coach. I thought he was terrible at calling plays, which maybe means he's a bad coach, but... Yeah, we definitely are, but yeah, I might be a yearly occurrence every single time they make the AFC title game just to apologize to Zach Taylor. Any other thoughts on awards or want to give a special shout out to a player with a good year?
Kirk Cousins had a really good year this year.
Okay, thanks. On that note, we're going to take a break, come back and do quarterback recap.
Hi guys, this is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks guys, and now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the 4th and a Mile podcast. Getting into quarterback recap, doing it like we normally do. We have our superlatives on basically just talking about the story of our rankings and how the season went for quarterbacks. So let's start with initial thoughts. Were there initial thoughts that something that happened this year that you're going to take into consideration for next year's rankings?
Yes. I think late round rushing quarterbacks are worth a massive flyer. So like Justin Fields just this past year didn't have a good start to the year, but ended up being a massive value late in the season. And I think that's something that I'm going to take into account for the following season.
I think when you look at the top five quarterbacks, all of them have some sort of rushing capability. I would say the least of them being Patrick Mahomes, but still has capability of running. I think it has to be factored in. We talk about it all the time. A guy like Justin Fields was really only fantasy relevant because he could run the football. So I think rushing quarterbacks will go off the board early next year. And certainly I'm going to narrow in on quarterbacks that have some sort of rushing capability, because a guy like Justin Herbert frankly, I mean, we could talk about him later, but he'll probably be closer on my do not draft list just because he's going to have to throw for almost 5,000 yards and 40 plus touchdowns to get to the same place as Justin Fields, who ran for 1,200 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns. So it's things like that.
My point is kind of sandwiched in between both of those, and that's it's very, very important to find a rushing quarterback, and it's very, very helpful. But the thing I want to remind myself is, like, don't knock Joe Burrow next year just because of that. Because I did that this year, and I was very wrong. He is good enough and has ample amount of weapons around him to be good enough to not have the same ceiling as a Justin Fields or any of those, you know, Lamar Jackson in terms of rushing. He's good enough with his arm.
And he also
still had five rushing touchdowns.
Five rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
Yeah, which is kind of nuts. And 4,500 passing yards, like, you're going to take that all day.
I have a question for you. Do you guys think 6 point per passing touchdown should now be the norm for quarterbacks?
Yes.
I think there's a really good argument for it to try to, because obviously rushing.
You want the best quarterbacks to be the top fantasy players, right? Like, I mean. Yeah, Daniel Jones, he had a good year. He is not a top seven quarterback. Justin Fields had a really good year. He's not a top five quarterback. If we're going off 6 point passing touchdowns, Kirk Cousins this year would probably be a top five fantasy quarterback. I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback either, but their job is passing touchdowns mean just as much in a football standpoint as it does as a rushing touchdown. So starting to consider, like, league scoring wise, like, should we be having 6 point per passing touchdown?
I think it's a good way to value the quarterback position in a single quarterback league. You know what I mean? Like, somebody will, in a single quarterback league, will be like, yeah, I'm not going to draft a quarterback because I'll just stream them. Whereas if you are in a single quarterback league and you say, okay, Patrick Mahomes is going to be a late first round pick rather than being a late second round pick.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the reason Superflex has become more popular, right? That it does the same thing. I think Superflex would then probably start to be more limited if they switched it to six, because then everybody would kind of be like, oh, okay, it evened out the quarterback position. That's really the mindset, I feel like, a little bit behind the Superflex.
So you're saying only do one or the other, not both?
I don't know if I would do both.
I would not do both.
You disagree? See, I do, because for example, if you're playing a team that has Daniel Jones and Justin Herbert, and you have Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow in football, which quarterbacks are you taking? I'm taking Rodgers and Burrow over both of those two players. So, like, that's where I go back and forth. I understand what you're saying. Superflex evens the playing field. It makes a quarterback position valuable, but it doesn't make the actual quarterbacks, like, there's still a difference in value.
That's true. That's a fair point.
Okay. Sorry to go down a rabbit hole. Let's get into superlatives. First one, where did we as a consensus, where were we wrong in our rankings?
I'll do the softball. Justin Fields, we had him at 18. He's a top five fantasy quarterback. Somebody that will be up on the radars coming next year.
Totally. Another one that we had, we had Joe Burrow at 10, and he surpassed that. I think he finished at 4 this year. So something that to monitor, and like some rushing quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson weren't in the cards this year. And so that's going to play a little bit of a factor there, but he certainly had a great year and something to, you know, monitor going forward for rankings.
How wild was it that Lamar was quarterback 13 still on the year?
That's crazy. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Right above him at 12 was another one we got wrong. And that is Justin Herbert. We had him at 4, almost as high. I think one of us had us at 2. Yeah, Josh. And he finished.
Guilty.
I'll close it out. I have a different one because I feel like there was a decent amount. Geno Smith, our comeback player of the year, and I don't even necessarily knock us for we didn't have him in our rankings. And he finishes a quarterback 5. So we were completely wrong about that. Any other ones where we were wrong?
I mean, yes, but let's just
see. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay. How about as a consensus, where were we right? What did we get right on this ranking?
Nothing.
I would say that we were higher than consensus on Jalen Hurts. At least I thought so. Brady notwithstanding, I thought that we were higher than consensus on Jalen Hurts.
Why don't you wait for the superlative to knock me for my ranking instead of just calling me out when we're supposed to be right?
Oh, I mean, I wanted to get more bang for my buck. I wanted to do it here as well.
I put Tom Brady. Tom Brady finishes the 11th quarterback according to our rankings, is what we had him consensus as. And according to what I'm looking at, he was 12th.
I see him as 11.
So, I mean, that's pretty dang good.
Another one right in that same range. We had Rodgers at 12, and he finished at 14.
Yep, those are the two that I had.
To that point, like, both those two did not play very well for the fantasy season, but that just proves what playing 17 games does for you. Like, your end of the season consensus ranking is gonna be positive.
Totally. And in a similar vein, like, I'm curious what the thought process on Tua is going to be, you know, going into next year, because he flashed his peaks pretty like well this year, where he utilized his weapons and was able to, you know, get that going. But obviously his health is, I would say, a concern for the next year. But curious what you guys are thinking. Like, do you think he's a top 12 quarterback next year?
Trey Lance is still ahead of him. I don't care where he plays.
So take off the tinfoil hat on him. And then after that, what do you think?
He will not be a top 12 quarterback for me. The risk is just not there. The risk is there for like long-term success. Like, he could be great, but
I think he'll be around that area for me.
Becker?
I think he'll be right up somewhere between 11 to 14, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. I like that.
Okay, an individual ranking of your own that bugs you. I'll start because I know we're going to talk about it at least four more times. It's my Jalen Hurts ranking. I had him at 10. I question his ability to throw the football. He answered it with flying colors. He is a top five fantasy quarterback going forward. In dynasty leagues, you can plan to take him up in that upper echelon with Joe Burrow, with Patrick Mahomes, with Josh Allen. So Jalen Hurts will be higher in my rankings next year.
For me, I'm going to go to a guy that I didn't even rank, and that's Jared Goff. I ranked the top 24 quarterbacks because theoretically in a single quarterback league, you're probably not drafting anybody outside of 24. Jared Goff was a really good quarterback this year and deserves a lot more credit for the season that he had. He probably most likely will be the quarterbacks next year for the Lions.
Absolutely. I'll jump in on what I had Pat Mahomes at 4. I thought that, you know, I was the lowest on him of us, and you know, Becker and Brady having him at 2. I just was really concerned about his weapons, and he showed it just doesn't matter. Like, he's just that good that his surrounding cast just simply doesn't matter.
I started to laugh because I was like, we didn't even talk about Russell Wilson being wrong.
Oh, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it.
He is going to be on there.
I was thinking, like, wow, maybe I should say I'm really disappointed in that ranking. But no, my ranking is who I had at 23. I took my glasses off for my boy Daniel Jones. I don't know what I was thinking.
I didn't rank him, so.
I should have known the coach of the year was going to get the job done.
You know, I played for the Eagles.
AP already spoke. He's coach of the year. Congrats, Brian Daboll. Let's any other individual rankings of your own that bug you besides Brian Daboll being coach of the year?
Not.
Okay. Let's do an individual ranking of someone else that just bugs you. I'll start. All three of you. Russell Wilson, 7.
And you were sitting high in my head at 9.
I was so right having him at 9.
Can you can you just talk about my awesome podcast vote for him as preseason MVP as well? Yeah. I probably can be lumped into this one as well.
Speaking of all high and mighty, Becker, Yeah, Joe Burrow at 11.
I was wrong.
I had him two spots higher, so not significantly, but I thought I had an opportunity. I had to take it.
I was very wrong.
I'll just talk with Josh here really quick about Justin Herbert as number two. I just, like I talked about at the beginning of the quarterback breakdown, like he's going to have to throw for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns to probably be in that ranking again. So that one bugs me. I think we as a podcast will not have a non-rushing quarterback up that high again.
This, I love this episode. This superlative where it's just like, okay, somebody you go at this person. Then, okay, well, I'm going to take this. Go at Jeremy. Bradley goes, well, I'm going to go at Josh because he went at Jeremy. Who wants one for me? Because I'm sure there's a bad one. Take the low-hanging fruit, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, mine was Jalen Hurts for Brady. And I wasn't that far behind him. I got sucked into the hype too. And that's probably why I'm even more mad, because he sucked me in. But we do have an episode that we would probably have to go back and clip. Not only did you say you had Hurts behind Lance, and you talked about Hurts not being a good thrower, but I'm pretty sure you said Trey Lance is definitely a better thrower of the football.
100%. I still think that.
Going down with the ship, baby.
I'm staying with it. He's gonna be their quarterback next
year. Double down. Triple down. Quadruple down.
Can't kick a guy while he's down. Can't do that. I'll stay here.
I'm just going to talk real quick about one other one that just...
Well, I got more. Don't worry.
Okay.
Well, I got some too.
Jeremy, why did you even rank Mitchell Trubisky?
Good question. Hey, I am at 30. Chill out.
He wasn't a top 32 quarterback. He got benched.
Yeah, well, I had, too I had faith.
Boy went out for Davis Mills. He had Davis Mills ahead of him. That's why you only do top 24, so you don't get the low hanging fruit, the petty ones.
Davis Mills Bradley. Finished 23rd. Come on.
Don't care.
I had him too low.
Bradley, a guy that you just believed in more than anyone else. You stuck by. You absolutely love this guy, Zach Wilson at 18. Wow. Wow.
Bounce back year next year. That one. That one bugs me. Yeah, that one bugs me. Wow.
The offseason news got you going. You were happy about it.
Wait, that one bugs you, Bradley? Not Derek Carr at 13?
No. No, I'll fight Derek Carr at 13.
Hey, like, hypothetically, I know Tyreek Hill went to Miami, but he was deciding between New York and Miami. You think that it would have worked out, Zach Wilson would have played the entire season if Tyreek goes there?
Mm-mm.
I think there's a shot.
Mm-mm. I have a couple other ones. I have a couple other ones. J-Bax. I know the player got injured. He wasn't looking good, though. Matthew Stafford at 10. Ain't it?
Tough look. Can I say?
And my last one. This one's we're splitting hairs here, but Mr. Montbriand.
Hello.
Tom Brady at 8. Explain yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Brutal.
Yeah, the weapons were there. So many weapons.
How about another one we were wrong on? Jameis.
Yeah.
That ain't his fault. That's not our fault either. I blame the Saints organization for that one.
That's fair.
That's just not right.
He was hungry. He wanted a W. They wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah. No. They refused.
Okay, let's talk about or does anybody have any more that they want to call?
I think we've done enough.
I think we've talked enough. Okay. Biggest tick down for next year. Who's your quarterback that gets a tick down?
The low-hanging fruit there is Russell Wilson.
Don't say
Wilson.
Justin Herbert. I was going to say, do not say Justin Herbert.
For me, it's Derek Carr, just because he's not playing in the same situation he's been playing in for his entire career, so there's a lot of uncertainty. You look at a guy, and this is, I think Derek Carr is a better quarterback than this guy, but when you look at a guy like Matt Ryan, when he left what he considered home to a different scenario, the grass was not always greener. So I think there's an extent where that could happen with Derek Carr. He's not going to be as bad as Matt Ryan, in my opinion, though.
Wait, are they playing at Boise State or what? You said the grass wasn't green, I didn't know.
I got the reference. I just didn't want to acknowledge it.
Okay.
Jeremy, who's your tick down?
I had Russell Wilson. It seemed like an obvious one.
Okay, I'm not trying to like poke, but a real answer too is Trey Lance. Like,
okay,
there's a here we go. I mean, compared to where we had him this year, we had him consensus 9 quarterback this year.
He's going like the five for me.
But Dak was in that top 10 range, had a similar ankle injury, and he the next season had similar aspirations to be a similar quarterback. It's not like it was an Achilles or an ACL where, like, I mean,
Josh is good at kicking people while they're down. That's just what it is.
He's not even for sure to have his job from what it sounds like.
I consider putting him on the list too, but like, I'm with Brady and Bradley. Even if he doesn't end up in San Francisco, and let's say they trade him, because if he's not going to be their quarterback, they traded 3 first rounders for him. They're probably going to do something with him. Yep. Wherever he ends up, the same hope that we had for him this year, it's going to be the exact same. He's a rushing quarterback. He's got high ceiling. So, like, we're all going to get excited about again, no matter where he's at.
Get him in Carolina. Absolutely. Run the option. Let's do it.
Yes.
Draft Bijan at 8.
Get him.
Or whatever.
Get him to Carolina.
Okay. My actual biggest tick down, this one's probably, you guys might not agree with it. For me, it's Lamar Jackson. There's so many question marks in the offseason right now for him that I'm a little concerned about Lamar Jackson's rankings. I had him at 3. I'm not going to have him at 3. I don't know what Josh's look was for that, but we're not talking about an injury related. We're talking about, we don't know who his offense coordinator is, and we definitely don't know what team he's going to be playing on for sure. So I'm a little concerned, and his injuries have been ongoing. That's two straight years where we've been questioning if he's going to play all 16 or all 17.
I honestly feel pretty good about Lamar. I'm hoping that someone comes in and does not make him a complete option quarterback. Like, when you look at Justin Fields was not a complete option where they had 3 tight ends in and everyone's at the line of scrimmage. Like, a lot of his runs were got out of the pocket, made something happen with his feet. That's when Lamar was at his best, in my opinion. And I'm hoping go ahead.
Lamar or Jalen Hurts?
I would probably go Jalen Hurts.
Lamar or
Joe Burrow.
So, and that's where my point is, he's going to get a tick down. Like, I had him at 2. Maybe 5 or 6. I still like Trey Lance above him. stock up for next year.
Jared Goff,
Ben Johnson already said he's coming back. One of the top 3, I believe, coaching candidates for this year.
That's spectacular news for the Detroit offense.
Jameson Williams coming back now too. So,
yeah, that's going to be a really good offense. I had Trevor Lawrence as a stock up. I think he's going to get potentially better weapons if they invest some capital into their weapon or their skill position players. If they re-sign Evan Ingram, I think that he's definitely a stock up.
Trevor Lawrence was also on my list. For me, also Joe Burrow, as we talked about, had him at 11. He's going to be higher than that for me.
That's fair. Two names that I had. I'm just going to start with the easy one, Justin Fields. I think we all agreed that he's going to be higher in our rankings next year. Another one for me, we talked about the name. It's Tua. I'm going to move him up. I had him at 17. As long as the offseason's long enough where we'll get reports on how he's doing and kind of long-term. Obviously, if there's long-term concerns, something will probably surface before we finish our rankings next year. But if everything is all go, he will probably be in my top 12.
That was Tua, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Biggest storyline heading into the offseason for you guys from the quarterback position?
For me, it's 2 quarterbacks. It's Justin Fields and it's Lamar Jackson. Are they going to get pieces around them, specifically an alpha number one receiver? You look at certain names. Tua got Tyreek. Jalen got A.J. Brown. Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs. And I'll even say Joe Burrow got Ja'Marr Chase. All those guys got better because they got an alpha receiver. There's many ways you can do that. You can do that in the draft. There are a couple good receivers in the draft. But there's also ways to trade for a good player. A guy like T. Higgins will probably be on the market for the right price. So there are options to get really good receivers as well. Chicago has to. If they want to see what they have with Justin Fields, they need to get him a really good receiver.
I would hate that so much, T. Higgins in Chicago. As a T. Higgins fan, really, Brady, would you be pissed? Would you be upset if they traded him to a different, you know?
Yeah, I don't know really what Chicago would be doing, though. They already gave up a second-round pick for Chase Claypool. And I'm not saying they're the same player, but, like, you already tried getting a big-body receiver that you just can't use, so.
Which was a terrible trade. Let's just talk about what it is. Right?
Yeah, that was so bad. That was so bad.
Maybe the 32nd overall pick, because the Miami doesn't have their first-round pick this year.
Yep.
And so that's the 32nd overall pick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy.
If I were Baltimore, I would trade my first-round pick for T. Higgins, but Cincinnati's never doing that. They're never going to trade within the division. You're not playing him twice a year. Anybody else have big storylines? I have not given mine yet, but Jeremy, have you given yours?
No. It's a beautiful mystery. Hey, Raj, how about you just tell us what you're doing, McDowell?
I mean, that was mine. Where's Jordan Love playing next year? Because I think he's going to get a chance to play. I just don't know where. I think Indy would give up their premium second round pick for him. I don't know if anybody would give a late first for him, but it all depends. I think Rodgers is coming back. I think he's going to play in Green Bay. But then where does Jordan Love go? Does Atlanta try and, like, does somebody in that middle of the first round, like maybe Washington, the Commanders, like they want to try and get Jordan Love? Like, who's going to try and get him? Because he's still, what, 24, 23 years old? He's still really young. Still has a lot of football left to play if he's good. We don't know.
Totally. And then mine was, who's going to trade up for a quarterback? I don't think Chicago is keeping their number one pick. So I think that is going to end up being a quarterback needy team who's going to mortgage their future for, you know, a Stroud, you know, it's Love. I guess we don't really know. Or sorry, Bryce Young.
Bryce Young, that's all right. Shout out to the old running back from Stanford.
The Jordan Love, the quarterback, the Green Bay quarterback.
We're getting right into it. The best naming podcast in the world.
No question. The awesome podcast strikes again.
Yeah. Let's do our ones got to go. So I think the top two are still the same for quarterbacks. So I think here's the tier of, like, ranking these next quarterbacks. So, and this is straight for actual quarterbacks, like building a franchise around. It's Justin Herbert, it's Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson. Which one's got to go? I can go first. It's Lamar Jackson. I have health concerns between these four.
I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. I think him and Lamar Jackson are, like, about as close as it gets. And that's no disrespect to Justin Herbert, in my opinion. I think he is, if any franchise has him, you feel phenomenal because he is very talented. But Lamar Jackson is a dynamic player. Let's not forget this guy won the MVP.
Right. That was my rationale for keeping him. Becker, what about you?
Which one's got to go for you, Josh?
I did Trevor Lawrence. I think that the peaks, I was thinking Joe Burrow's definitely safe. He's the top one for me. Lamar Jackson's won an MVP, so we've seen that he's capable, and I do think that he's going to be healthy enough for next year. And I think the peaks that we saw from Herbert are higher than what we've seen from Lawrence thus far, and so that's why I went Lawrence.
This is tough. My bottom two are Herbert and Lamar. I'm gonna go with Herbert. Herbert's gotta go.
Let's rank them. Well, Jeremy, you kind of already ranked yours, but for me, it was Joe Burrow 1, Trevor Lawrence 2, Justin Herbert 3, Lamar Jackson 4.
It's the same for me, just switching Herbert and Lamar.
I had Joe Burrow 1, Lamar Jackson 2, Justin Herbert 3, Trevor Lawrence 4.
Let's just make it abundantly clear. If you have one of these quarterbacks, you're feeling pretty good about your franchise.
Yeah. I think Trevor Lawrence, the amount of growth he showed this year, phenomenal. Even to the point, I don't know if you guys saw the video of him sitting in the
I did see that, the tunnel,
like, dapping all of his teammates up, and you could just tell, like, his teammates, like, there are times where one of those guys will do that, and it's like kind of like brush him off. Each one of them, like, gave him a hug, like, hey, we'll back, stuff like that's a heck of a leader, and that's half the battle for being a quarterback as well.
And yeah. He's young, and those dudes are bought into him.
Yeah,
as a leader,
and they have reinforcements coming too. Yeah. Like Calvin Ridley, I know he's a little, his age says he's a little bit older, but he can still play. Yeah.
He's hungry too.
So, yep.
No doubt, a lot to prove. Yeah, so that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Go deep, and we'll see you.